leading scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, Editor-in-Chief. Today we're going to talk about water. In Arizona, we understand the value of water, in the desert especially. There's no doubt around the world that there are some areas of the world that simply don't seem to have enough water that people would like anyway. But the deserts of the world have sustained life for many centuries, and the ingenuity of man to get the water out of the ground and out of places where it can be collected is legendary, but we value water because without it, of course, we can't live. About 3 days, they say. Well, the USGS, that's the U.S. Geological Survey, states that about 71% of the Earth's surface is water covered, and the oceans hold about 96.5% of all the Earth's water. Water also exists in the air as water vapor, in rivers and lakes and ice caps and glaciers and in the ground as soil moisture and in aquifers, and even in you and your dog. Well, I'm glad they included that in the definition. Water is very plentiful on planet Earth. And since the beginning of its creation, there has never been really a drop of water lost to outer space, and there's never been another drop of water created. It's remained pretty static over the millennia. The rain comes down, the rivers flow out to the ocean creates water vapor, which turns into more clouds and goes over the land and drops more rain. It's called the hydrologic cycle. Well, I, for one, am excited for a story today about the discovery of a new source of water. And this is in the face of a contrived water shortage, thanks to the United Nations and all their programs around the world to allocate resources and control resources. There is no shortage of water. There's a distribution problem at times. There's no shortage of water on planet Earth. Well, a new source of water has been found. My headline here on story number one is massive water aquifers discovered under the ocean. That's right. Scientists have determined that there are massive aquifers underneath the ocean floor that are virtually completely fresh water. The United Nations has said for many years now, things like this, quote, taken directly from one of their publications, water scarcity already affects every continent. And of course, the shortage is being blamed on global warming. You'd figure that. I would suggest that instead of creating artificial shortages like the United Nations is trying to do, that would be better to thank the creator of Earth for providing abundance of resources to its inhabitants. The article states that researchers have imaged laterally continuous aquifers extending 91 kilometers offshore New Jersey in Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, on the U.S. Atlantic margin using new shallow water electromagnetic geophysical methods. They identified cliniforms as a previously unknown structural control on the lateral extent of the low salinity groundwater, and potentially a control on where low-salinity water rises into the seafloor. The data suggests a continuous submarine aquifer system spans at least 350 kilometers of the U.S. Atlantic coast and contains about 2.8 trillion tons of low-salinity groundwater. The findings can be used to improve models of past glacial, eustatic, tectonic, and geomorphic processes on continental shelves and provide insight into shelf geochemistry. Well, of course it can. It can also provide an incredible amount of fresh water to planet Earth if that is ever desired to do so. And of course, yes, you can drill below the floor of the ocean. That's done all the time with oil and gas wells, by the way, like in the Gulf of Mexico and the North Sea, where they're drilling thousands and thousands of feet down into the ocean floor, having dropped their rigs through the ocean itself. So yes, this could be done, drilling for water, just like they drill for water right now in many farming areas. Well, this discovery is absolutely incredible because the implications are that fresh water exists under the floor of the ocean all around the world, not just in the United States. So one would expect to find the same type of structure in Europe, in Africa, in Australia, South America, everywhere, and there is no shortage of water. This will not stop the United Nations, however, from claiming that there is a shortage of water. They'll blame it on one thing or another. Usually it's just pure and simple global warming. The ice caps are going to melt, the seas are going to rise, and we're all going to die. I think people are getting tired of that rhetoric, don't you? Well, on another note, Walmart comes back into the picture along with AI-powered cameras. Yep, they've installed them in 1,000 stores around the country to track shoppers. That's you and me. They have a problem, you see, with certain types of fraud within their stores. We used to just call it shoplifting. It's a little bit more sophisticated now with electronic scanners scanning all of the merchandise going across the counter. But instead of using old-fashioned techniques of clamping down on crime, they decided to use artificial intelligence along with cameras to spot every little discrepancy that happens at the register in order to prevent people from walking out with goods they did not pay for. The social engineering company that Walmart hired is called Everseen. And there's a video, by the way, of Everseen within the article. The idea is to control and change behavior of its shoppers through the use of AI-based surveillance systems. By surveilling everyone, Walmart hopes to catch just a few cheaters. And actually, in the trial run so far, they have caught a few cheaters. But the question always comes up, is it necessary to surveil 100% of the population in order to catch a few outliers that are trying to cheat the system? I don't think so. And I don't know anybody, honestly, that thinks that way either, unless they're a technocrat. Technocrats have no problem with this. According to Everseen's website, process mining, as the new technique is called, process mining means there's a process that happens every time a customer is checked out. That process is repeated over and over and over all day long. But process mining means looking at that counter, measuring everything that happens, tracking everything that happens, and then extracting data from it to manage the whole system. So their website says that process mining amplifies awareness of scenes unfolding daily in retail, pinpointing the, quote, moments that matter. That would be when somebody lifts something they shouldn't lift. In order to nudge a behavior one seeks to change and or transform the underlying process. So there you have the bottom line. The idea is to nudge the behavior that one seeks to change. Well, Walmart is using computer vision technology now, as we said, to monitor checkouts and deter potential theft and other causes of shrink in more than 1,000 stores. Shrinkage is the loss due to shoplifting, things like that. The surveillance program, internally called Mist Scan Detection, uses cameras to help identify and correct checkout scanning errors and failures. Ireland-based Everseen is one of several companies supplying Walmart with the technology for its Mist Scan Detection program. A Walmart spokesman said, "We are continuously investing in people, programs, and technology to keep our stores and communities safe." I don't understand how they can conclude that ubiquitous surveillance of all of their customers keeps stores and communities safe. It just makes no sense. Walmart is using computer vision technology to monitor checkouts and deter potential theft. The surveillance program, which Walmart refers to internally as Mist Scan Detection, uses cameras to help identify checkout scanning errors and failures. The cameras track and analyze activities at both self-checkout registers and those manned by Walmart cashiers. When a potential issue arises, such an item moving past a checkout scanner without being scanned, The technology notifies checkout attendants so they can intervene. The program is designed to reduce shrinkage, which is the term retailers use to define losses due to theft, scanning errors, fraud, and other causes. I might add, this will do as much to catch rogue cashiers as it will shoppers. Spokeswoman from Walmart said, "Walmart is making a true investment to ensure the safety of our customers and associates. I don't know how this has anything to do with the safety of customers and associates." But she continued, "Over the last 3 years, the company has invested over $500 million in an effort to prevent, reduce, and deter crime in our stores and parking lots. We are continuously investing in people, programs, and technology to keep our stores and communities safe." There it is again. Well, you'll have to figure this one out, whether or not you want to continue shopping at Walmart, because you will be tracked. And of course, they don't mention anything about tracking your identity. That's a good thing they don't, because there would be a complete uproar around the world for that. But on the other hand, you know that they are, because what are cameras for after all? And what is artificial intelligence for after all? I had the thought as I was posting this article that Walmart is becoming a little China. Well, you can take that for what it's worth. Lastly, we're going to talk about another story that deals with AI. A lot of people are afraid that robots are going to take their job. And indeed, Technocracy News and Trends has posted many stories that follow that thought over the last several years. Robots in industry after industry seem to be conquering the labor force. Agriculture, warehousing, truck driving, shipyards, you name it, robots seem to be making an incredible incursion into the workplace. Many have estimated that millions and millions of jobs will be lost over the next 10 years to robotics and artificial intelligence. But there's a thought that's even worse than losing your job to a robot, and that is, when the AI robot becomes your boss, the implication is you will become the robot. Now, there's a frightening thought. You, yourself, will become the robot to be directed by the artificial intelligence program behind your job that monitors, tracks, and instructs every single thing that you do. And of course, artificial intelligence sees humanity itself as a thing to be optimized, squeezing out all the inefficiency. This is a technocrat thought, by the way, from day one, back in the 1930s, when Taylorism was a big thing. Automating factory floors, trying to squeeze out the inefficiency. When unleashed as your boss, AI effectively turns you into a living robot to be controlled like a puppet on a string. Well, I don't think employees are going to tolerate this indefinitely, but for now, it's coming. And more companies are beginning to implement this type of system to control and modify the behavior of their employees. The article states that critics have accused companies of using algorithms for managerial tasks, saying that automated systems can dehumanize and unfairly punish employees. When Connor Sprouls, a customer service representative in the call center of insurance giant MetLife, talks to a customer over the phone, he keeps an eye on the bottom right corner of his screen. There, in a little blue box, AI tells him how he's doing. Talking too fast? Program flashes an icon of a speedometer, indicating that he should slow down. Sound sleepy? The software displays an energy cue with a picture of a coffee cup. Not empathetic enough? A heart icon pops up. For decades, people have fearfully imagined armies of hyper-efficient robots invading offices and factories, gobbling up jobs once done by humans. But in all the worry about the potential of artificial intelligence to replace rank-and-file workers, we may have overlooked the possibility it will replace the bosses, too. Sprouls and the other call center workers at his office in Warwick, Rhode Island, still have plenty of human supervisors. But the software on their screens, made by Cogito, an AI company in Boston, has become a kind of adjunct manager, always watching them. Well, listening to them. At the end of every call, the software notifications are tallied and added to a statistics dashboard that his supervisor can view. If he hides the Cogito window by minimizing it, the program notifies his supervisor. Cogito is one of several AI programs used in call centers and other workplaces. The goal, according to Joshua Fees, Cogito's chief executive, is to make workers more effective by giving them real-time feedback. He said, there is variability in human performance. We can infer from the way people are speaking to each other whether things are going well or not. The goal of automation has always been efficiency, but in this new kind of workplace, AI sees humanity itself as the thing to be optimized. Amazon uses complex algorithms to track worker productivity in its fulfillment centers and can automatically generate the paperwork to fire workers who don't meet the targets, as The Verge uncovered earlier this year. Amazon has disputed, by the way, that it fires workers without human input, saying that managers can intervene in the process. Well, it's not quite the same, is it? Managers can intervene, but why should they if the decision's already been made by the AI program? IBM has used Watson, its AI program, during employee reviews to predict future performance and claims it has a 96% accuracy rate. So it's predicting future performance as well. Then there are the startups. Cogito, which worked with large insurance companies like MetLife and Humana, as well as financial and retail firms, says it has 20,000 users. Percolata, a Silicon Valley company that counts Uniqlo and 7-Eleven among its clients, uses its in-store sensors to calculate a true productivity score for each worker and ranks workers from most to least productive. Management by algorithm is not a new concept, of course. In the early 20th century, Frederick Taylor revolutionized the manufacturing world with his scientific management theory. He was a technocrat, by the way, which tried to wring inefficiency out of factories by timing and measuring each aspect of a job. More recently, Uber, Lyft, and other on-demand platforms have made billions of dollars by outsourcing conventional tasks of human resources, that is, scheduling payroll, performance reviews, to computers. But using AI to manage workers in conventional 9-to-5 jobs has been more controversial. Critics have accused companies of using algorithms for managerial tasks, saying that automated systems can dehumanize and unfairly punish employees. And while it's clear why executives would want AI that can track everything their workers do, it's less clear why workers would. Well, you can extrapolate the rest of the story to this one. The more people that come under a situation where their boss is an AI program driving them during every minute of their shift to do its bidding, it's going to get old really quick. I do not personally believe that employees will ever tolerate this indefinitely. I'm not sure how they might be able to throw it off, but employers are in for a rude awakening one day when they realize how they have dehumanized their workforce. Well, in closing, I'd like to encourage you, if you have a mind to do so, to head over to patreon.com/technocracy and make a decision to become a supporter of Technocracy News and Trends, and myself personally, by the way. We need all the help we can get here. We are a reader-based service. We have no advertisements. We have no incessant pop-ups and stuff that block your ability to read an article. These sorts of things drive me insane personally when I'm searching for news stories around the world and around the internet. But we don't do that here at Technocracy News and Trends. We want you to have the full story straight up right off the bat. So if you can help even just a little bit with $1 or $2 or $5 a month, everything helps. Everything is appreciated. And we can keep the word of technocracy continuing to spread. I'll thank you in advance for your support. And also, please do share every article that you see on Technocracy News and Trends. There's a share bar with multiple icons at the top of every story. It's so easy just to click the one that represents one of your services that you subscribe to and share that article with people on that platform. This really helps get the word out. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll catch you next time. Mm-hmm.